You're watching Notepad with me, Ibrahim Sani. Joining us this evening is Siemens AG Malaysia Boss President and CEO Adam Yee. Adam, how are you this evening?
Good evening. I'm fine. Thank you very much. I'm good.
Let's talk about Siemens in Malaysia. Siemens, of course, Siemens AG is, of course, a conglomerate based out of Germany. You have been having a very long and storied history with business in power generation, business in technology, railway, water treatment, you name it. And because of the strategic business concerns that you guys have, there's a lot of conversations on whether or not the business can be sustainable and retain and remain to be sustainable in the future. But before we jump into all that, can you give us a little bit of background about Siemens, particularly Siemens in Malaysia, Adam?
Yeah, thank you very much, Ibrahim. Siemens Malaysia is actually, we are the leading company for a comprehensive product and solution for various markets, as you mentioned just now. Especially, we are contributing a lot to the Malaysian economy under the digital industry and also the smart infrastructure. So we, as you mentioned, we are pretty much involved in energy sector from the past. We did our MRT line for the first phase, and also we are contributing a lot for the industry 4.0, as you can see that nowadays a lot of people are talking about digitalizations. We also contribute a lot on the smart infrastructure for smart city. Recently we did a project for the smart meter from the utility and supplying to the consumer house. So these are the areas we are doing quite a lot. As you know, Siemens, we are the first company who actually, especially if talking about 1982, that time, we actually set up the two semiconductor plant in Penang and also Malacca. There has been quite some time for us. It's contributing and also creating quite a number of jobs, 1,500 jobs during that time. So we want to continue to be sustainable, as of course, we based on the emerging technologies available in the market, we see that that is necessary, especially for Malaysia. We do see that there's a potential in Malaysia to further develop, to become a smart nation, to become more agile and more sustainable for the future.
All right, Adam, I just want to talk to you about the focus that Siemens is going to be driving forward in the near term. It's post-pandemic. What would be the two or three key things that you guys will be doing in the very near term here?
I think there's a lot of discussion and forum that I attended. Always we talk about what will be the first thing of the priority that we need to do for the country after the post-COVID. Yeah. So the post-COVID, we look into, we need to really, the first topic we do is we want to upskill and reskill and we have to bring more talent into the market. So Siemens Malaysia, we do involve and also we are contributing in this arena because we are building our Siemens training program. We embed our training program into the university, especially in the MTUN, Malaysia Technical University Network, on the vocational training kind of a syllabus. We bring this syllabus into the bachelor degree of automation and electronics. That's one thing. Secondly, also, we also trying to support the existing workforce. How are we going to bring this existing workforce to be more competitive and to be more relevant to the emerging market that we are talking about? So the technology
Adam, my question is, what would be the two or three things of the business strategic focus that you're going to be doing? You're not a training center. It can't possibly be about reskilling and retraining only. Yeah. I'm asking about the business pillar that you guys are driving forward. What would be the two or three business pillar that you guys are going to be focusing on right now?
So we first pillar we're driving for digitalization. That's one pillar that we are looking at. Secondly, also we look into the smart infrastructure. We're trying to be doing for the connectivity for the grid, for smart grid. And thirdly, we also involve in the business of mobility. Yeah? These are the areas that we want to look into as a focus for the future.
All right, you mentioned digitalization as a key point. What do you mean by that? In what area are you digitalizing?
So on talking about digitalizing, we're talking about in the industry sector, on the manufacturing sector of on digitalization. As you see that we are still heavily involved in the foreign workers. We're trying to help the SME to help them to digitize on their production floor, helping them to, let's say, embrace into this digital technologies available in the market to, so that they can embrace, they can really foster a better connectivity and produce high quality of products, inclusive of, let's say, improve the productivity and also efficiency. Yeah.
All right. The second item you're talking about is smart city. Is that correct?
Yeah, smart infrastructure.
Yeah. So talk us more about that.
So, for example, like what we did from the past 2 years, we have done the phase one to phase two on the smart meter. We're helping our customer to do the connectivity on the smart meter. We are also bring the knowledge about the technology of connect the substation to have a better transparency on our energy consumption. So energy optimization is one of the key pillars that we are focusing on, especially when we talk about sustainability for the environmental.
You know, the problem with energy, at least in the near future, is not just about the power generation, it's also the power distribution, particularly when we talk about electricity as a form of energy. Do you feel that this is going to be a big problem for us in the near future, when not only do we have a supply chain issue of power generation, distributing it to the neighborhoods, distributing it to non-urban areas is going to be a problem in the near future?
Yeah, it will be a challenge for us, especially we talk, and you're right talking about distributions, because the distribution is actually how we're going to manage the distribution without a better transparency on our network. So this is also the area that we can see there's opportunity for us to optimize, to embrace more new technology in order for us to really maximize the potential of the energy consumption and this is is a real challenge for us, but I do see that in Malaysia we are able to tackle on those areas.
How? I mean, you're not the TNB, you're not the government. How do you intend to make this happen?
As I mentioned just now, I think TNB have done quite a numbers of initiatives to bring these technology and towards the market, and also bring the solution into the substation. We did it for the MUR recently, the project that we are bring our smart grid solution and smart meter solution into the country.
What is NUR? Can you share with us? What is NUR?
Northern Utility Corridor. I mean, it's a northern region in the northern part of Malaysia. We have in the completion stage, to put on the SCADA system into the utility substations.
What about power generation itself? We're trying to reduce our reliability on coal, on hydro, and try to get a little bit more renewables in the picture. How does this tie in with your relationship with TNB, with all the other governmental agencies right now?
Yeah, we do have a focus on this area, especially now. I mean, last year, 2 years ago, Siemens has set up the new entity for Siemens Energy. We have an entity who are supporting for the renewable energy. We're also focusing on those areas to support those upgrading project in Malaysia. So in that perspective, we trying to help out TNB and to support TNB for those enrollment of the new project that they have. So there's a lot of initiative in place, but we are still working out very closely with them. So in that perspective, power generation is still a key main focus, but we have to be look into the sustainability, especially on the ESG, environment friendly, also make sure that the technology that we bring forward is actually more eco-friendly.
For a person that might not know how power and electricity and the sustainability concerns involving it right now are being addressed, what would be the current issues that needs to be looked at? Things that might not be sustainable, things that might not be addressing ESG concerns, that has to be addressed, or else we're not going to achieve a more sustainable way of creating energy and using energy.
Well, you're right. So is the main topics here is actually how we're going to transform from the existing power generation to the new eco-friendly or green environments, more friendly in that kind of a power generation. In such a transition, it takes a lot of investment, and also it takes a lot of analysis study about what will be the future, how we're going to transform into that direction. At the same time, also, we have to make sure that there's no interruption for current with our national situation here in Malaysia. So that is actually need to deep dive and have a think tank to think about what the next step to do on this.
What would be the next step to do? I'm sure you have done your own studies. Do you want to share with us some of the items that you think has to be addressed?
Some of the items that we have to address is actually, we even can think about having the digitalization on the digital twins to understand about the energy, the statistic from the energy consumptions, trying to maximize the output and trying to minimize to make sure that the capacity is actually enough for us to be ready to support the current situation and current capacity as of today. And then we have to think about what will be the replacement, the next step, the next phase of the energy that we can really transit into a new source of energy. So that, for example, like in solar industry, solar energy, or in the wind, unfortunately in Malaysia, we don't have many winds, stable wind. So wind energy is not really the options. I think solar energy is one of the area we can look for.
So how do you think we can achieve greater resource or yield from solar energy? I am not familiar with this, but I am made to understand that solar panels, for instance, photovoltaic panels have gone down in price. Is that correct?
Yes, it's gone down in price, and also because of the supply chain. And Malaysia is one of the largest, and I think not the largest, I think China is the largest, but Malaysia is also contributed a lot on the photovoltaic solar panels, producing the solar panels. And the challenge on this solar panel, especially solar energy, it heavily depending in Europe, if you look at Europe now, it heavily depending on the subsidy from the government. Without the subsidy government, because the cost is too high from the past, and now there is an opportunity for us to bring it forward for our future because the price has been went down for the past few years. So that is an opportunity for us to look into that area to have an alternative or a renewable energy that we can support the nation.
Do you think that we still need subsidy, particularly in the area of people like you or Siemens trying to get more energy from solar? Is there room and space for asking for more subsidies from the government?
We are the producer. We are the system solution provider, but we are not the manufacturer of the solar panel. But at the end of the day, we talk about consumable. We always think about, is it the return of investment for putting up the panel for the investment? Is it sustainable for time being? Also, you have to also look into the tariff rate and also comparable on that. So for long run, if you want to attract more people to use solar energy, then you need to, I strongly believe that government can do something about it.
Some of the audience of this show include lawmakers, include MPs. They might want to take some pointers from you right now about what they can champion in the Dewan Rakyat. What would be some of the ideas that you think needs to be debated there when it comes to getting, sustainability, energy, getting more subsidies maybe, or, a little bit more assistance, tax breaks? What would be some of the ideas that, they might have to think about when they champion this in the parliament?
If you ask me, as I said again, if you want to look into the energy contribution and also the generation for the energy for the future, so the first thing we can do is to look into the technology that we can support, the transparency of the energy consumption. This first thing that we need to look into that. Because without knowing the whole transparency of the energy consumption and also the distribution of the energy, we need to really focus on those areas that we can optimize for the future and more sustainable in the future. Next thing is talking about embracing for more digital grid, so that you'll be able to do on the preventive maintenance that is actually can support you to really to focus to minimize the downtime. This is also one of the topics, because I'm saying that the area that I have is actually also always we found that there's an interruption of a disruption of energy supply. So that is something that we can look into that, because the moment you have more transparency on your network, that you get better picture about what the next step needs to be taken.
The thing about major global conglomerate like Siemens is that a lot of R&D is being done at either centers of excellence or at the HQ in Munich, maybe, I don't know, and subsidiaries in countries like, for instance, in Malaysia, might not necessarily do a lot of R&D. Is this the case for Siemens? Because I hearken back to the statement that you made about 10 minutes earlier, that a lot of R&D, a lot of research needs to be done here. So talk to us through the process of R&D. Are you guys able to do or conduct R&D in-house in the country?
Actually, this R&D, we spend about 5% of our revenue into R&D. And the R&D we're talking about here, we are the producer of the equipment and devices. Especially in the manufacturing in sectors, yeah, we do have R&D to do software and also to all the design and also product design, and also helping the customer in the collaborative co-creation, kind of support for the new development of the new product. But we do not really see, because we don't have a supply chain, we normally get from Malaysia. We are more on the back end in Malaysia, whereby we did get a lot of components from Malaysia, especially in the electronic industry. But to get the producer of the products as a final product, most of the R&D are sitting in Germany, and partly in China. Yeah.
So what is it about mobility that Siemens is thinking about right now in the near term?
No, we're going to nowadays there's so many e-car, the electric car. So we also want to bring our e-charging technology to Southeast Asia. We have launched it in Singapore, and also the next step that we do is actually we want to also bring it to Malaysia for the infrastructure readiness for this e-mobility. This one topic that we are discussing about on how we're going to roll out, and also we are doing also certain analysis about where the penetration in the market, how we're going to also collaborate with our partners moving forward. And the next step, we also look into the mobility for the train. You know, we are one of the supplier for the recent HSR, the Johor Bahru and Singapore, the mass transit train that we are producing. We are supplying the signaling system. So that is the area where we see that we can contribute on the connectivity between the two nations. This is also one of the breakthroughs. So for mobility, first of all, we look into the e-charging kind of a setup for the infrastructure. And the next thing, we look into the train and also the signaling system that we can produce more on safety and also environmental friendly.
You know, what Siemens is doing right now is very hard, if you think about it. Not only do you have to give a cutting-edge technology solution to your customers, you also have to deal with the government of various governments, state, local, federal governments. And now you're talking about the HSR, you've got to deal with at least two governments. How is it like trying to address the concerns of your, end user, which is people like me right now, enjoying the fancy electricity that I get right now fed through my camera, my computer, and all the other stuff in between, versus the kind of direct customers that you have, which is the various governments and regulatory bodies? What would be some of the challenges that you need to overcome to make sure that the solution is being delivered at a cost that is profitable to you guys, but at the same time is manageable by the government itself?
Yeah, that's why I'm participating a lot of a talk, and we're trying to gather some let's say a joint collaborative kind of a network. I'm also the board of director for Malaysian German Chambers of Commerce. I'm also the advisory for the Eurocham. We want to bring our voice up to our government to, for our concern, and also to also let our government understand about the importance for the future that Malaysia, that towards the future that we have. Yeah. So that's one thing that we do. Secondly, as you mentioned about, just now I talked about training, maybe you think that training is not important, but I think training is absolutely...
No, don't get me wrong. Training is extremely important, but surely that shouldn't be your focus right now, right? You got to...
Yeah. No, I think yes, maybe this thing is not for long term, yeah? This thing is actually for long term, because if you don't embed the people, the skilled people with the mindset, it's very difficult for you to ensure for the future generation, they will really understand about the quality and understand about the importance of getting the new technology and getting more productivity and efficiency. We need to be more competitive, not just by having to be a part of the supply chain. We should be part of the global supply chain in this world. So this is absolutely important. Just not by having a contract manufacturing, but why we don't think about having an R&D and design our own product and produce something for the nation. So this is what we should look into to it for future. This is how you see Korean, how it's developed, how Japanese in the past have developed.
You're talking about culture. You're thinking about instilling some sort of an excellence culture. Is that what we're getting at here?
Yes, exactly. This is what we should focusing on, to build the culture, the mindset for our people.
Some of the items that you think is worth sharing for the folks in post-pandemic, how do you think they should rethink about, you know, managing their life in terms of technology, embracing digitization? What would be some of the lessons that Siemens themselves have learned following the pandemic? The things that we might not be thinking about pre-pandemic, but now is going to be the central focus of the pandemic, Adam.
Yeah, when we talk about the post-pandemic and what lesson we have learned, I think I still remember the first MCO we had, and everybody is actually astonished with the changes, and also we need to be locked down, and then how we're going to conduct our business without a physical presence. So this is also, towards, especially in Malaysia, 95% of our economy is contributed by SMEs. And SMEs is the most important group of companies who are really supporting our economy. So I think for the post-COVID and the lesson learned from this COVID pandemic is actually bring us into a situation whereby digitalization is no longer a choice. Yeah, everybody should think about what should I do next for my company in order to be sustainable. And the answer is you need to digitize your company process. You need to digitize your the way of how you communicate with your employees. And I mean, when I talk about digitalization, it has to start from internal. You have to really think, reshape, and think about what are relevant to you and how you're going to contribute for the future. The supply chain has tremendously...
I would frame it this way, Adam. There's three things that I look at things right now after the pandemic. To me, there's content, which is people like you providing the digitalization solution. There's culture and mindset. I think we've got that attuned for folks like me. I'm rather an early adopter in anything, right? I would form a beeline to buy an iPhone lah, senang kata. But there are late adopters, laggards, and now we're getting them on board. But the third pillar, see, the first two pillars, in my opinion, can be resolved. I've got folks like you, Siemens, and all the other competitors that you have to provide me the solution. The mindset, people have changed. The third pillar that I'm looking at is infrastructure. That, my friend, is going to be extremely difficult because we have to get the government on board to get things done. Things like 5G, forget 5G, things like 4G, right? My children, at home right now in the dining hall going through school, they can't go to school if their 4G is dropped to 3G, right? This is what I'm trying to say. Do you feel that we have the capacity to force the government or those that control the infrastructure to actually get things going you know, provide better internet, provide better solution for electricity, which is going to be a big concern, at least in my opinion. I don't know about you. Distribution level to get the G2G conversations going between Malaysia and Singapore. You know, those kind of things. These things, do you feel that we, as the third-party stakeholder here, have a part to play to make sure that we get the first two pillars up and running and then meet the most important one, which is the infrastructure? I mean, it's good that you have an idea of e-charging. I'd like to have you on the show again to talk more about that, because, you know, it's always a chicken and egg argument. But, you know, subsidies, tax breaks, those kind of stuff. Where do we fit in this puzzle?
Very challenging question you have, Ibrahim. I think...
Only challenging questions on my show. How about that?
I know. It's always challenging. I'm sweating now. So it's challenging, yeah? So it's when you, especially, you know, the just now what you have mentioned about the technology, we are the producer of the intelligent device. We have to set up the mindset is one thing. You're right, absolutely right. And the biggest challenge we have is how we're going to influence, how we're going to bring the message to the government, how we're going to continuously to let the government see that there is a challenge from the future that we have, and how we're going to do it so that we are stay relevant, we are more competitive in this region, in Southeast Asia, whereby you see some country like, you know, don't talk about our neighbor country like Singapore, and look at Vietnam and Thailand, they are actually on the speed.
They're far away. They ran away from us, you know. No, they didn't run away from us. We just stayed put. They just went along.
We have to get our voice to be listened. I think this is one of the platforms, as thank you for the invitation for this interview. But this is a platform for us to let the government see that it's important to get those people. I believe, Ibrahim, Malaysia, we do have a lot of talented people. We do have a lot of professionals who understand about what needs to be done. But just only we need to let our government to know this is important, and this is, you need to have the industry expert, you need to have somebody who can give you the proposal how to go moving forward at the next step, yeah, and really taking the action step by step. You know, this is very important, and also we have to make sure that there's a certain transparency, because you and I, we need to know how is the progress, how things is going. So this is also important for us to know. Otherwise, we always presume or assume that it's nothing is moving. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're assuming now Vietnam is overtaking us. We assume that Thailand is overtaking us. But where is the facts? Yeah, we can find. So this is also important. I appreciate so much on MOH recently, because they give us all the data, where the data give us a lot of information. And we are no longer, let's say, making the criticism or making an assumption that the government is not doing anything, because they are doing something.
That's right. Okay, thank you very much, Adam. I wish I can have you a little bit more, but we ran out of time. That was Adam Yee, the President and CEO of Siemens Malaysia. If you've missed any part of this episode, just head on to astroawani.com. Look for Notepad over there. You can also look for Siemens on our website. We're everywhere on the social sites as well as on the web. Until then, thanks very much for watching, and goodbye.